Our subject is the world that then was. The world as God made it at the beginning of time, before the great flood in the day of Noah. And we've been focusing on what God made during that creation week, the 6 days of creation. Notice what that verse says in the latter part of the chapter 1 of Genesis. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. Everything that God had made. He made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that in them is. And the very last of God's creative work was the creation of mankind, beginning with Adam, made in the image of God, then placed on probation as the representative of the whole human race. And what Adam would do would determine the destiny of the human race naturally. If he obeyed God, he would earn life, but if he disobeyed, then his disobedience would bring death, and it would pass upon the whole human race, placed on probation. And then we discovered how the Lord gave to him a companion in the person of Eve, although she was not named Eve until after the fall. But when the Lord brought her to the man, he called her woman, meaning out of the man, indicating the way in which she had been made, the way in which she had been created. And she was created to be a companion and helper for man. And together, male and female, were joined in union in that first marriage bond in the Garden of Eden. But you'll notice here in this first chapter that there's no mention of the angels. Of all that God made, there is no mention of the angels. And yet the angels are clearly referred to in the scripture, as we come to see in chapter 3, and they are inferred in this last verse of Genesis chapter 1, because God saw everything that he had made. Everything. And that included the angelic world. Although they are not mentioned in this opening chapter of the Bible, yet they are inferred here in this last verse. God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And right away that tells us that God did not create evil. He did not create evil. Now when we come to chapter 3, we find the introduction here of Satan, the old serpent. And we're left in no doubt when we read Revelation chapter 12. The old serpent is identified as the devil and Satan. The word Satan meaning the adversary. The one who is not only against mankind, but against God. And the reason why Satan is against mankind is because man was made in the image of his creator. The nature of Satan is one of opposition to God. But how did this come about? If God saw everything that he made, and it was very good, then God did not create Satan. He did not create Satan in his condition and in his nature as an adversary of God, against God. And therefore we infer from this that the one who is mentioned in chapter 3, the serpent, was originally created in that first week of creation in a way that was different from what he is now manifested as in chapter 3. Created not as a fallen angel, not as an adversary of God, but created good. Just the same way that Adam was created, but then subsequently fell and rebelled against God. And so it introduces us to this great subject of angels. The Lord Jesus said, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. We not only have the fall of man, but we have the fall of angels that took place before Adam fell. And that opens up a tremendous subject. Now, it's a subject in which there's a lot of confusion. There's a lot of exaggeration, and there is even denial. Those who deny the reality of the existence of angels. But the Bible is absolutely clear in its testimony. Angels are real. They exist, and God created them. So that leads us to ask a number of questions tonight. And the first question is this: when were these angels created? Well, I want you to turn in the scriptures and follow the word of God tonight in Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1 and verse number 16. And the reference here is to the Lord Jesus. And we're told here in verse 15 that he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. What a tremendous statement tonight. It's a statement concerning the Lord Jesus, who he is. He is God manifest in flesh. And before he was born of a virgin in Bethlehem, he existed as the Son of God from all eternity. And he created all things. He created all things, both visible and invisible. And those invisible things tonight pertain to the angels. They are described here as principalities and powers. Principalities and powers. Angels are invisible beings. They are spirit beings, spiritual beings. They do not have a physical substance as we do. But they were nevertheless created by the Lord Jesus. Turn to Job chapter 38. Job chapter 38. And in this passage, God is speaking to Job. This is bringing us to that time in Job's life when he has come through tremendous affliction. He has been through great trials of mind and heart concerning those afflictions. And now the Lord is addressing Job, and he says to Job concerning the creation. He says to Job in verse number 4, where wast thou when I laid the foundations of the earth? You remember, as we have studied this subject, we have emphasized in relation to those who hold the evolution that they were not there. They did not witness it. They did not see the creation. And that's exactly what the Lord is doing with Job now. He's saying, Job, were you there? Where wast thou when I laid the foundations of the earth? Declare, if thou hast understanding. Job, do you know how I created this world? Did you observe it? Did you see it? No man witnessed the creation. Verse 5, who hath laid the measures thereof, if thou knowest? Or who hath stretched the line upon it, whereupon are the foundations thereof fastened? Or who laid the cornerstone thereof, when the morning stars sang together, and all the sons of God shouted for joy? So while man was not there, There were creatures, there were beings who witnessed the creation. The sons of God is a description, a title that is applied to redeemed humanity. As many as received him, the Bible says, to them give he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. And every believer becomes a child of God. But this is before man is even created, before man fell, in order to be redeemed. The sons of God shouting for joy. Who is this referring to? It's referring to the angels. The angels, and they're shouting for joy. Do you know that angels are noisy beings? They are noisy creatures. Because here they were shouting for joy. And when? When the morning stars sang together. Now, when were the stars created? The stars are a fascinating subject. The Bible says they are innumerable, and yet the Lord calls them all by name. Think of that. The Lord has a name for every star that fills the galaxy, stretching out into outer space. Oh, we can only see a minuscule part of it. But notice what the Bible says in Genesis 1 and verse 16. God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day, that's the sun, and the lesser light to rule the night, that's the moon. He made the stars also. It's almost as if it's just put in there. Well, the Lord made the sun and he made the moon, and he thought to himself, this place is very empty. Space, the galaxies, very empty. So he says, I'll make some stars as well. Man will never be able to count the number of the stars, but every star God created and God named it individually. When were they made? They were made on the fourth day, verse 19. The evening and the morning were the fourth day. So that tells us when the morning stars sang together. And by the way, they have discovered that creation sings. And it follows the musical scale that we are familiar with on a piano. They have made instruments now that can hear sound out in the universe, and that there is a musical chord in the universe. Well, the Bible tells us that the morning stars sang together. And when they sang, all the angels, all the sons of God shouted for joy. So that tells us that the angels were in existence either on or before the fourth day of creation. But let's go a little bit further. Turn to Psalm 148. Psalm 148. And here we have this great universal call to all creation to praise the Lord. Psalm 148. Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights. Praise him, all his angels. Praise ye him, all his hosts. Praise ye him, sun and moon. Praise him, all ye stars of light. Praise him, ye heavens of heavens, and ye waters that be above the heavens. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for he commanded, and they were created. He hath also established them forever and ever. He hath made a decree which shall not pass. Praise the Lord from the earth, ye dragons and all deeps, fire and hail, snow and vapors, stormy wind fulfilling his word, mountains and all hills, fruitful trees and all cedars, beasts and all cattle, creeping things and flying fowl, kings of the earth and all people, princes and all judges of the earth, both young men and maidens, old men and children, let them praise the name of the Lord. I want you to notice the order here. It ends with mankind, because mankind was the last that God created. And what did God create before he created man? On the sixth day, he created the beasts and the cattle. You can see that in verse 10. And before he created the creatures, he created the land, the dry land, and the seas, mountains and hills. And then you come right back to verse 3, the sun, the moon, and the stars. And then you come to verse 2, you have the angels. Do you see the order? Creation is addressed in this great call to praise the Lord, and it begins with the angels, and it ends with man. And I believe that is giving to us the order in which God created all things. And so the angels were not only present on the fourth day when God created the sun, the moon, and the stars, and the morning stars sang together. I believe the angels were created at the beginning. Possibly the very first that God created. And the reason I believe that is because the angels were created to be eyewitnesses of creation. Turn to Revelation chapter 14. Revelation chapter 14. And here we have a very interesting verse. Revelation chapter 14 and verse number 6. And I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven. Angels can fly. In fact, I think they fly faster than the speed of light. This angel flew in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, and to every nation and kindred and tongue and people, saying with a loud voice. Didn't I tell you angels were noisy beings? They shouted for joy when the stars were created and sang for the first time ever. The angel shouted. And now this angel, he shouts with a loud voice, fear God and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment has come, and worship him that made heaven and earth and the sea, and the fountains of waters. And this angel now is standing as an eyewitness, bearing testimony to God's creative power. I believe God created the angels first so that they would be an eyewitness of that creation week. And the evolutionist may come and may say to Christian people, you weren't there. But on the judgment day, God will bring the angels. And the angels will bear testimony that they watched when God said, let there be light. And just like that, there was light. And they will say, we saw when that vast expanse of the galaxy of outer space was suddenly populated with millions upon millions of innumerable stars. We saw it. And we saw it when the dry land appeared and the trees started to grow and the vegetation. And we saw it when God filled the heaven above with birds, the fowl of the air, and the sea with fish innumerable. And we saw it when God created the land creatures. And we saw when God took the dust of the ground and created Adam's body. And we watched as God breathed into his nostril the breath of life. And every angel, every holy angel will say, it didn't happen by evolution. And when God brings Charles Darwin to the judgment throne, every angel will be called to bear witness that his theory was wrong. And they will say, we witnessed the creation. Oh, it's there. It's there in the Bible. These beautiful beings that God created, I believe they were created right at the very beginning. The first of all to be eyewitnesses of what God would do. And here's this great angel saying, worship him that made the heaven and the earth and the sea and the fountains of waters. They witnessed the creative power of God. The Bible tells us in Hebrews 12 and verse 22 that they are innumerable. Look at Revelation chapter 5. Oh, what a verse is this. Revelation chapter 5 and verse 11. And I beheld and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne and the beasts and the elders. And the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000. And thousands of thousands. Get the calculator out. 10,000 times 10,000. 100 million. And thousands of thousands, that's millions more. Innumerable. And every angel was created individually. Angels are, if I could put it like this, sexless beings. They do not reproduce as the human race was created. Matthew 22 and verse 30, the Lord speaks about man in the day of resurrection. And he says, in that day we will neither marry nor be given in marriage, but we shall be as the angels of God are in heaven. They were created individually, a fixed number. And that number hasn't changed, it hasn't decreased. Nor has it increased. They were created holy according to Matthew 25 and verse 31. They were created in different ranks. We have seraphims, the burning ones. We have cherubim, the covering ones. We have archangels. They were created mighty. Look at 2 Peter chapter 2. 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 11. Peter is speaking here of man in his self-willed wickedness, speaking evil of dignitaries. In verse 11, he makes a contrast with the angels. He says, whereas angels, which are greater in power and might, bring not railing accusation against them before the Lord. That's where you get the little saying, fools rush in where angels dare to tread. But Peter says these angels, in comparison to man, are greater in power and might. They are mighty creatures, mighty beings. This is what the Bible teaches. And God created them, every one of them. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. But how came then the introduction of Satan? Described in Genesis chapter 3 as the serpent, and in Revelation 12 as the old serpent, the devil, and Satan. Look at 2 Peter chapter 2. 2 Peter chapter 2 and the verse number 4. Just come up that chapter just a little bit. And Peter says there's something that we need to take note of. For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment. The angels that sinned. the angels that sin. Turn over just a couple of pages to the little epistle of Jude and the verse number 6. The angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness, unto the judgment of the great day. These angels were created holy, pure. They were created to serve God. They were created as moral beings with the capacity to obey God and to do God's will. But they sinned. They kept not their first estate. They left that habitation in which God created them. Revelation 12 and verse number 4 gives us the background here. We have the dragon, who is the serpent, the devil. Verse 3-4 says, his tail drew a third part of the stars of heaven and did cast them to the earth. The reference here is to his angels. Verse 7, there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels. Verse 10, and the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. And he was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. There's a great rebellion. The devil at the beginning was created holy, created pure, created good. And there came a moment when he chose to rebel against God. And the Bible tells us about that in the book of Isaiah, chapter 14. Isaiah chapter 14. Remember, the Lord Jesus said, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. And if you think of the lightning strikes and it's so quick. And all of a sudden, that streak of light shoots right down to the earth. The Lord is saying, that's what happened to Satan. He was created holy. He was in heaven, a good angel. But he fell quickly, and he fell from heaven. Isaiah 14 gives us the detail of that fall. Verse 12, how art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer? The word Lucifer means the shining one. He was created as the shining one. Son of the morning. How art thou cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. There is a thought, a desire that fills his heart to take the place of God. He was made as the shining one. He was placed in a position of authority, for he had a throne. And the Lord Jesus in Colossians 1:16 created things visible and invisible, including those thrones. There are ranks in the angelic hosts. And Lucifer said to himself, I want to be God. I want to take God's place, God's throne. And he rose up to rebel against God. But he was cast out. And Jesus said, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. He became the adversary, an evil desire originated within his heart. It did not originate from God. It's the great mystery of evil. And he continues to have the very same desire. You remember when he came to the Lord Jesus in the wilderness and he tempted him. He said, fall down and worship me and I'll give you all the kingdoms. He desires to be God. Desires to be God. And isn't it interesting? When he came in the garden to our first parents, that was the very temptation that he set before them. He said, you'll not surely die. But if you take of this tree, then you shall be as gods. You'll be like God. Knowing good and evil, determining good and evil. You can see his desire. And you can see his deception. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. In the verse number 3. You see how many times the Bible talks about the angels and makes reference to the fallen angels, makes reference to Satan. 2 Corinthians 11 and verse 3, Paul says to these believers, but I fear lest by any means as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. Satan, when he rebelled against God and was cast down, he came to our first parents and he spoke to Eve and he beguiled her. The word beguile means to deceive her. To deceive her. And Eve was beguiled. Eve was deceived, but Adam wasn't. And Adam was present. He was there. You can see that in Genesis 3 and verse 6. When Eve took of the fruit she did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her. Adam was right there when the serpent came. And he beguiled Eve. And Adam knew exactly what would happen. He knew exactly what this was. This was an act of disobedience to God's commandment. And Adam chose to eat the fruit that God had forbidden. You can see his desire and you can see his deception. And not only did Satan fall, but through his temptation he caused Eve to fall, and then Adam chose to fall with her. And from that point onwards, the dominion of Satan extended over fallen mankind. Ephesians chapter 2 tells us in the verse number 3 of that chapter, talks about the prince, or verse 2, the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lusts of our flesh. The spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. And the thought there is, the offspring of that disobedience of Adam in the garden. And all of Adam's offspring by natural generation are under the dominion and power of Satan. He works in the children, the offspring of fallen Adam. They're under his dominion and he rules. But thank God, the Bible also speaks of his defeat. And if you look at Colossians chapter 2 and verse number 13, Colossians chapter 2 In the verse number 13, he says, "And you being dead in your sins, the Lord is quickened." Verse 14, he talks about the blotting out of the handwriting, nailed to the cross. And verse 15 says, "And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it." Who are these powers, these principalities and powers? They are the fallen angels. And Satan has this dominion over fallen mankind. But the Lord Jesus, when he went to the cross, by his own death, he has slain death. He has defeated the power, the dominion of Satan. And he has redeemed humanity back to God. Redeemed his people who trust in him, who obey the gospel, and who receive Christ as their Lord and Savior. The Lord Jesus has triumphed over those principalities and powers. He has spoiled them. He has robbed them of their dominion. The Bible tells us about the reality of angels created to be eyewitnesses of God's creative work. And they have many other things that they engage in. The holy angels are ministering spirits sent forth to minister to those who are the heirs of salvation. When a believer dies, the Lord has told us that the angels come and carry their spirit into the presence of the Lord. And those same angels are going to come with Christ in all his glory. They will gather the wheat, and they will sift the chaff, and the chaff will be cast into the fire that's unquenchable. The holy angels. And along with that, they will cast the devil and his angels into hell. The Bible tells us that hell was prepared for the devil and his angels. I want you to think about that. Is there anything that God created after the creation week? Yes. He created hell. And hell was created because of the fallen angels. Matthew 25 tells us that hell is prepared for the devil and his angels. After Satan fell, reserved in chains onto darkness, onto perdition, onto hell. And God created hell in the aftermath of Satan's fall. And the Bible also tells us that hell hath enlarged itself. And the reason for that was because man chose to join the devil in his rebellion. And there will be a portion of fallen humanity that will not repent, and at the last day will be cast into the lake of fire. These things are real. The Bible tells us of the devil who fell from heaven as lightning, and he drew that third of the angels with him, and then set his target upon mankind created in the image of God. The choice before us tonight is clear. Will we choose life, or will we choose the way of perdition with Satan and his angels? Fallen angels will be the jail companions of all those who choose to reject Jesus Christ and the gospel. What a terrible end for lost sinners. Don't let that end be your end tonight, but rather come to Christ and trust him and be saved.